welcome to our Hump Day podcast. My name is Kevin Robertson, and you're listening to the podcast that is committed to interviewing people within the church that can be such an encouragement to you and me. So thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoy our podcast. One of my favorite women of the church, because she's sitting in front of me, her name is Alma. Now, Alma, how long have you been part of this church?
It's been 14 years now.
So 14 years. So 14 I was years. Like 18 when I started this church. You were 34, right?
Maybe.
But one thing Alma does, every time she sees me, which is so cute, she says, "How's my rock star?
How's my rock star?"
And it means so much to me. It's so cool. So we thought it would be interesting to interview Alma and her story of her life. And so her addictions that she's had in her lives and how she broke through her addictions.
Yes.
And so Alma would be called a straight-up alcoholic at one time. Now, how old were you when you started drinking?
I started drinking at 14 years old.
14?
14.
What possesses a 14-year-old to start drinking at 14 years old?
Well, I was modeling the adults around me.
Okay.
And my family heritage comes from New Orleans.
Okay.
So it was a lot of Creoles and drinking on the weekends, and that's what they did after work. And the women would drink and cook and talk and go to church and come home and drink and cook and talk.
Okay.
So I thought that was the normal.
So were you drinking with adults at 14, or were you doing this?
No, I was sneaking.
Okay, you were sneaking.
Yeah, I was definitely sneaking.
Yeah. Okay. And so, therefore, now, what is so fascinating about your story, you were telling me that you were a high-functioning alcoholic.
Yes.
Tell me details about that.
Very high-functioning alcoholic. I always worked, took care of my children. In fact, I lived the American dream. I bought property, sent my kids to school, traveled around the world. Okay. I could run a whole department.
Okay.
And all the T's would be crossed and the I's would be dotted. Come home, get totally wasted.
Good grief.
Okay, then the water flush, and then go back.
Okay.
With that infamous sinus headache that we know was a hangover.
Okay.
Right? So, and do it all over again.
So basically what you were telling people, because you were high functioning.
Very high functioning.
That basically I just water myself out.
Yes.
And so.
Start all over again every day.
Start with a migraine.
And then on Fridays you get started, you end on Sunday night to get ready for Monday.
Okay. So what made you in your head to say, I can't be doing this. Did some event happen in your life? Because you were telling me previously you were drinking for close to 50 years.
Yes, yes. You know what happened? It wasn't working.
Okay.
It stopped working. I was drinking to mask a lot of the hurt, to numb it.
Okay.
Maybe it wasn't real. Let me go to that place. And then all of a sudden, it just stopped working.
Okay.
Everything was just like still there. Yeah. Wow. On top of the alcoholism.
Okay.
Yeah, it just compounded.
Okay. So how did your walk with the Lord, did your walk with the Lord connect with stuff drinking? Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. I realized so many times how I was in God's bosom.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I didn't know it.
Okay.
I was in circumstances that I probably shouldn't be sitting here today.
Right.
And I know now that the Lord was in front of me, behind me, and on each side. Mm. And, it just touched my heart.
Mm.
And I heard the Father say, "You know what? If you want to do this, I'll do this with you."
Okay.
Not for you, but I'll do it with you.
Oh, excellent statement.
Yes.
And so did you start getting involved in AAs or?
Oh, yes. I believe in AA. AA is really a good thing. 30 meetings, 30 days was the first 30.
Oh, wow.
And then, after that, you continue to go.
Right.
But that first 30 days is really very hard. But as I learned in AA, it never got easier because I'm coming up on 6 years from a previous relapse.
Wow.
And it's still every day. And I always say to myself, you know, in AA, it's like one day at a time. Mm-hmm. I say, that's why God made minutes. Mm. Sometimes we have to slow it down to moment by moment.
Okay,
I made it through this 5 minutes. Okay, now I made it through this 10 minutes. And before you know it, you've made it through.
Okay. Wow. So you took 30 days, 30 meetings.
Yes.
And then you got your little button, chip for 30 days. Now, why is it so important for accountability? We've heard people say, I don't need AA. I don't need accountability. I can stop on my own. What do you say to people that say, I can stop anytime?
You know what? They haven't admitted to themselves what it is.
Okay.
You know, once you admit that this is a disease,
right,
and it's actually something that needs to be treated, mm-hmm, and AA is your medicine, mm-hmm, you learn to go.
Right.
Okay, AA is your medicine. It can really be medicine for this disease.
Okay. And so then did you stop just drinking right after the 30 days or 30 meetings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long were you in your sobriety until you collapsed again, or
my first sobriety, I made it about 5 years.
That's a long time.
That was a long time. And then I relapsed. And the one thing I learned through AA is relapse is part of recovery.
Okay. Because a lot of people that relapse, they just give up.
Yeah.
They just forget it.
Yeah.
But you relapse and you just got right back into the 30 days, 30 meetings.
You might not know this, but I came to church that Sunday. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
And I hugged you and I said, Pastor Kevin, I relapsed. And you said to me, well, let's just get started all over again.
Oh, yeah, I did say that. Now you remember that?
Yes.
I do.
Yes. And that was Sunday. My favorite meeting was on a Monday. And I got up that morning and I went. And I told them what happened.
Wow.
And that just started all over again. And this December, it'll be 6 years since then.
Congratulations.
Thank you so
much. 6 years.
Yes.
Good grief. And you didn't stop there, because you were telling me that when you're 14 years old, you were starting to go to college.
Yes.
And then, surprise, mm-hmm,
I got pregnant at 16.
16 years old.
Yes.
But still held on the dream to finish college.
I did.
Okay. Now, this is an interesting story. You went back to college at what age?
60.
60.
60
okay.
years old.
So anyone in their 30s saying, I'm way too old to go back to college.
Yeah, get out of here. And it was fabulous.
You enjoyed it.
I absolutely enjoyed every moment of it. I learned more sitting in those classrooms with the children of today and the young adults of today than I learned in any book.
Okay, so you weren't looking back and say, oh, good night. I'm too old for this.
Oh,
there's
no
way.
No. So, I was like, bring it on.
Oh, bring it
on. Bring it on.
And yeah. So when did you graduate?
I just graduated June 2016 with my bachelor's in sociology, and I'm an elder care specialist.
An elder care specialist.
That was my focus.
But it's more focused now that you're really focusing on dementia and Alzheimer's care.
Yes.
Now, if you guys don't know my situation, my mother has stage 7 dementia, and she's in hospice care in Spokane, Washington. And so let me ask you about some of the things, because you just finished a workshop with us about the dementia care, which was an excellent workshop.
Thank you.
But I want to focus on, what are some of the misconceptions that you could see, like from a son, about their parent? Do you see them trying to communicate too much? Do you see them trying to do something but making a situation worse?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? In a case like that, they need to be educated.
Okay.
Because there is a way to communicate with people with Alzheimer's disease and dementia.
Okay.
Now, one of the miscommunications, you asked me about that, one of the things, is dementia is not a disease.
Mm.
It's a symptom. Okay?
Okay.
And they have disease-related they have dementia-related diseases. Mm-hmm. So Alzheimer's disease is a dementia-related disease.
Okay.
A vascular dementia is a dementia-related disease. Frontal temporal lobe, they call it Pick's disease. These are dementia-related diseases. So the symptoms of dementia are in those diseases. Okay? That's one of the misconceptions.
Okay.
And, you know, people say so-and-so has dementia, this person has dementia. You need to look and see what's lying deeper than the dementia.
Right, right.
And through a process of elimination, they'll usually see it's something else going on.
Okay.
And it might even be their medication or an infection or something that's causing it. Okay. That's one of the first misconceptions.
Okay.
Okay. Now, as far as communicating with someone with Alzheimer's disease, you learn the stages. And then you learn how to communicate at each stage.
Oh, okay.
And what the key is to live their truth. Don't try to convince. If they say the sky is pink today, say, what a beautiful pink sky. Let's just go enjoy this pink sky instead of convincing them that the sky is blue.
Right.
Because it's easier on you and it's living their truth. Does that make sense?
No, that makes a lot of sense because you don't think, like for my mother, when I go visit my mother, I need to live her truth.
Live her truth.
Not what is true. And you know, it does get frustrating when you hear people saying you need to do it this way, you need to do it this way, or you got this wrong. You just want to just go.
No, you'll have a better day. Yeah. And realize, you know, touch is very important. And how you make that person feel is very important. You know, they say you can remember what people say. You can remember, you might forget what they do. But you never forget how someone makes you feel. And if you make them feel that warm, loving feeling, when you walk in the room, you know, just pretend the flowers are blooming.
Right.
They'll go for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just have a beautiful, loving day. And you'll see that it works for both of you.
Oh, so in a sense that they may not recognize you, but they'll feel.
Yes.
They'll remember that they're feeling with you.
Yeah. Or if they don't remember it's you, they remember the feel of touch and love and it's okay and comfortable. I can walk in a room and say, good morning, Miss Mary. How are you? It's so good to see you today. And she'll say, oh, I couldn't wait for you to get here. And I've never seen her before in my life.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, we've got a connection.
Correct.
That's how it works.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. And you really can start communicating with them and valuing them in the state of mind that they are
today.
Because a lot of people kind of disregard people with dementia or Alzheimer's, like they're gone. So why even put any effort in communication
that's
with them as
that's
well?
Unfortunate because they're still in there.
Yeah
They're still in there, and all you have to do is put it out there and you'll feel that spark, and before you know it, you guys are, you know, one.
Right. So as we end, there's two advice I want to ask you.
Okay.
And the first advice will be focusing on your addictions and AA. And the second advice will be focus on the dementia and Alzheimer's.
Okay.
So if somebody were to say, you know what, I really need to stop drinking. I know I'm an alcoholic. I know this. But I just don't have the courage to do it. I just don't know what to do. How would you encourage, or can you really encourage somebody to really seek the help? What did it take in you?
It's 2:00.
Oh, see, I should have turned that thing off. What would it take in you to not to convince somebody, but to encourage somebody to get some type of strength?
Okay, the first thing I would do is I would tell them to slow down. Because by that time, thoughts are racing.
Right.
I need to do it. How do I do it? How can I do it?
Right.
First thing you need to do is let's slow this train down.
Okay.
Okay. And second, admit to yourself. Admit, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. You know, this is a disease. It's not the unspeakable. This is something that can be taken care of.
Right.
Okay. And now you think, okay, I need to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't get started alone, get a friend, get a sponsor, go talk to Pastor Kevin. You don't. There's guidance out there.
Right.
Okay. There are things you can do where you're never alone. And then when you believe in God, you know, alcoholics believe in God too. Yeah. Yeah. All right. In their higher power.
Right. Right.
You know, through God, right, all things are possible.
Right.
Even helping you get through this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and then, like I said, when I say slow this train down, uh-huh, I told you I always go back to my own frame of reference. Not only one day at a time, God made minutes. Mm-hmm. God made seconds. Let's slow it down. Okay, you got through this 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You get through that 15 minutes. Before you know it, you've gotten through the day. And once you make it through the night, we know what? Joy comes in the morning.
That's right. That's absolutely. See, you're a preacher.
Oh.
You're a preacher. Excellent.
Okay. Now, what was the next one?
No, the second one is you have people my age that I've always said in your 50s, the decade of your 50s is probably one of the most decades to live because you're saying goodbye to your children because they're going off to college.
Yes.
But yet you're saying goodbye to your parents.
Yes.
Because they're becoming older and passing away. So let's say someone's listening and they said, my mom or my father is in the beginning stages of Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And what advice would you give for somebody that doesn't want to accept it and just is angry, you know, and trying to convince their parents, no, you don't, you get it wrong. And because this is what happened to my dad.
Yes.
When my mom was beginning Alzheimer's, he would argue with her and say, no, you're doing this wrong. No, you got the dates wrong and stuff like that, which I saw my mother getting aggravated, you know, mm-hmm, and not knowing why she was getting so aggravated. So what advice would you give somebody that just had in the beginning stages, their parents are going through a dementia or loved ones going through a dementia? What advice would you give them?
They need to get with a support group.
Okay.
Because education is so important during that time.
Okay.
Because through a support group, they'll talk with other people who use certain techniques.
Okay.
They'll learn more about the disease and each stage and each complication that comes with each stage,
right,
and how to handle it.
Okay.
It, because where things are today in 2016, a lot of work has been done on this.
Right.
And now there's an actual instruction book you can go to.
Okay.
Okay. When they're in this stage, this is what we do. When they're in this stage, this is what we do. And it's a lot of support out there for the kids. I encompass the whole family when I'm with the family.
Okay.
To give them guidance, Pastor Kevin. Okay. And the Alzheimer's Association. The website has just wonderful resources.
Okay.
From virtual brain tours to how to reduce caregiver stress to how to communicate with people. Mm-hmm. So use those resources because they really come in handy for you.
She can send you the resources that you need to get a support group. Now, I understand how it's like to lose a parent to Alzheimer's. It's been 8 years and my mom's still in the hospice care. So it is difficult. It is hard. And so if you need a support group, if you need a church that understands and can connect with you, this is a perfect church for it. So if you're looking for a church this weekend, join us Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9 o'clock, or Sunday at 10:45 a.m. And if you know anyone else that's going through Alzheimer's or someone that's going through a difficult time in this situation, please share this podcast with them. We would love to help them. God bless you. Have a great remainder of the week. And remember, every day is a gift. Use it wisely.